friends. Welcome to Taichung Expat Talks. This is Todd Blackhurst, and on this episode, I'm really happy to introduce you to my friend Jude Cossey. Jude, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Todd.
All right. It's exciting. You're the first person to be at the red mic.
Well, all right then.
Yeah. So, hey, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, hello. My name is Jude Cossey. I'm from the U.S., from Ohio, in a small town called Cary. I've been here in Taichung. I haven't been in any other cities in Taichung for a little over 5 years now. And I've been teaching at cram schools and doing some artwork and guitar playing and a number of other things on the side as well.
Yeah. You're a little bit of a renaissance man, but before we jump into that, I actually want to ask you, like, how many times in your life have you had the "Hey Jude" joke? I mean, your whole life, your whole name has probably been defined
hey, Jude,
a little bit by the Beatles song, right?
Oh, this is the first time I've heard it, really.
Yeah, whatever.
Many, many, many times.
I imagine moving to Taiwan gave you a little bit of a reprieve from that.
A little, but people still say it quite a bit.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Thank you very much.
At least it's a good song.
Yeah, it is a good song. And do you like the Beatles at least?
Yeah, I like them all right.
All right, sure. Okay.
At least I say at least my name isn't Sharona. You know, then
that's true.
That would
be
bad.
True. Although to any of our listeners named Sharona, we love you too. And I actually think that's a great song too.
All right.
So anyway, only those of us who grew up in the 80s will know that song. Hey, so tell us what brought you to Taiwan. What was your Taiwan moment? Let's just jump right into it.
All right. I came to Taiwan quickly, unexpectedly, because I was working in Yellowstone National Park for a summer. I've done that for three different summers over my life. And when I was working there, there were a lot of foreigners working there from many different countries, a lot of people from Taiwan. And one was a woman I was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to get to know each other. And we're talking, dating, and then she, I'll try to make it short, she asked me to go swimming with a group of people. So we went swimming in the mountains in a river near a waterfall.
Yeah.
And long story short, she almost drowned.
Oh, wow.
And I had to, like, pull her out of the water and give her CPR.
Yeah.
And it was a very serious
situation. Was that your first kiss?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yeah, it was a scary situation.
Yeah,
at
definitely.
The time.
Obviously, I mean.
Yeah, so she, you know.
She lived, obviously.
She lived.
Okay.
She lived. And right. And so after that, she and I got very close.
Yes.
You can imagine. And
I can.
She had to come back because of her work contract.
Yeah.
So she came back to Taiwan, and I went and to Portland, Oregon, real quick to study. I went to a thing called Oxford Seminars, which gave a certificate for teaching English. Yeah,
right.
TESOL. Yeah.
Okay.
And then came here as quickly as I could.
Wow. So she was from Taichung.
She was from Zhonghua.
Oh, Zhonghua. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And are you still together today?
No.
Okay.
It didn't. Unfortunately, people say, "Oh, it's like a movie." And yes, it is, but you know, but it is like a movie. And then when you get to real life,
yeah,
it
doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work out.
Yeah. Well, it's a great story.
Yes.
And I appreciate you telling me.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So when you first got to Taiwan, I'm always interested in people's experience. It was your first time to Asia. Is
yes.
that true?
Yeah.
So what was that like? You know, you show up here. You've met this girl. Obviously, you've had some interaction with, you know, Taiwanese people, but living here and interacting with Taiwanese people is a completely different experience. So what was that like for you?
It was not so good. It was not good.
because, what do you mean by that?
Well, it was like being a baby, really. It was like being a child because, whereas, you know, because I moved here when I was 30. I was 30 years old. And so, you know, in the U.S., if there's any problems, if I would move to a new city, then I could look up numbers, I could call for information, I could go to offices. Here, I had none of that. I had no help but her and my work, which would try to help me. And but everything. It hurts that I don't like the food here very much. So trying to order food or do anything was always a challenge, and I didn't even know how to take the bus, transportation. Everything was, it was like having to rely on her for everything, which I didn't like. Yeah. It was pretty frustrating to not be able to really do anything because everything was so new all of a sudden.
Yeah, those are some rough days, the first initial landing here. And people have obviously very different experiences, but I appreciate you sharing that a lot. Yeah. So since you've been here, though, you seem to have adjusted really well. Now you seem to be doing great. Tell us a little bit about how you've shifted over time and been able to really not just live, but make a life here.
Over time, I suppose it's a lot of groups that I found online and talking to different people and finding out the things that I'm interested in, my own personal interests, such as art and music, and finding ways to perform my music, to do my artwork. And so over time, I suppose it's just gradually getting used to it. I should study the language more. I'm sure that would help.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It's been frustrating. So it doesn't feel like I've been here for 5 years. It only feels like I've been here for two and a half. It really doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't feel like that long.
So you seem to be, as best I can tell, something of, at this point, a Renaissance man. I mean, you do kung fu, you play music, you play the guitar, you sing, you have a calligraphy business on the side, but not only do you have kind of a teaching business, your calligraphy, I've seen the work, it's amazing. I mean, it's beautiful.
Thanks.
Work.
Thanks.
And you like fountain pens. I mean, hey, ladies, are you listening to this? Like, you need to meet this guy. So
thank you. I am single.
Okay.
Did I say that?
So just contact me on Facebook, and I'll get you in touch. So tell us, how did you get involved in all these things? From a child, have you been interested in all these things, or are these kind of passions that came about in your adult life?
I've been interested in them for a long time. Calligraphy, not specifically art, for a long time. My mother is an artist, and so is a couple of my uncles do very, very good artwork. Calligraphy is from my father writing me letters. Every time I've been away from my hometown, my father's always written me letters, and so writing back, all the time. But here in Taiwan, there are so many of the stationery stores.
Yes.
And they have so much paper, so many cool pens, and I could just walk around those.
Yeah.
I never get tired of walking around the stationery stores.
Yeah.
So I found some fountain pens and decided to try them out. Got into those, then got into calligraphy, then got some pressure to teach.
Yeah.
To teach calligraphy. Maybe a friend said, hey, maybe you could teach some classes, and I said, sure, and I got kind of thrust into that, and then it pushed me to improve quickly. So, but a lot of it, how I've gotten into all of these different things is passions from the past, and then now deciding, if not now, I'm never going to, so I might as well just seize the day,
Yeah. Letter writing is such an interesting, speaking of that, it's such an interesting, I think it's something we've really, as a culture, somewhat lost because of the digital age.
Right.
It doesn't mean we don't communicate our feelings and thoughts through the digital means, but when you write a letter, describe that process, because obviously you're still doing it potentially.
Sure.
With your dad. Writing a letter is much different from typing an email, I think.
Right.
Right? So tell me about at least your personal opinion about the difference.
Well, one thing is where you are, because if you are writing anything on a phone or computer, then you're either at home, or if you're out somewhere, then you have your phone with you, and you don't really separate from it. But letter writing, sometimes I'll be just out in a park. Even on a bus, I can write a letter. I'm in downtime somewhere. So it's a relaxing thing to do. You know, some people play their phone games. You know, I'll sit there and write a letter, and it's slow. There's the pace. You don't have to worry about you know, being rushed. Yeah. And plus, just the act of writing, you know, which is like physically pen in your hand and paper. Yeah. There's something like, I don't know, something nice about it. It feels nice. I don't know how to describe it. It's like, it's hard to replicate
like that. It's a very permanent act. Mm. You know, digital media can be changed very quickly. You know, you can write something quickly and then delete it, you know, whatever. But when you put something on paper, there's a permanence to it that you can go back to. Not that you can't pull up an old email or whatever, but, you know, usually you're searching through things because you're looking for some piece of information or whatever. But a letter is, I don't know, I guess I would think that it's much more emotional to some extent.
Right, of course. And, you know, I could put little drawings or sketch something, or you can put something into the envelope that's fun. Like, I write also to some, like, just some friends back in the U.S., and I'll take, like, a menu in Chinese and throw it in there, mm-hmm. or something, like, odd that I've seen, like a receipt, yeah. and just an actual physical piece from Taiwan that they can, like, ponder over a little bit.
Yeah, that's really nice. Okay, well, on a completely different topic, mm-hmm. I noticed recently you were looking for underwear. So I just need to ask, because I myself care about my underwear deeply.
All right.
So I'm curious, did you have any success in this area?
I had some people say, oh, you should try this brand or this thing, and I haven't been able to find anything, but it's...
An ongoing search.
It's an ongoing search for,
right. Well, for, to my for listeners, comfortable underwear. If you have any suggestions, please feel free to write in with your suggestions.
That would be no shyness at all over there. Any underwear ideas?
Just shoot those in.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to bring that one up.
Thanks. Can't believe I posted that. No.
So you've been teaching Taiwanese children now for a while, mm-hmm. working with them.
Yeah.
What, if you had the opportunity to talk to Taiwanese parents and give them advice or encouragement about their children, the way that they treat them, interact with them, spend time with them, educate them, what would you say?
Well, first off, I'm aware that I'm not a parent, and so it's I'm aware that I can't just tell someone how to be a parent automatically, right. if I don't know how it really is. But nonetheless, a lot of kids, especially in Taiwan, with its system of, you know, go to school, finish school, go to another school, the creativity is lost in a lot of kids, and I see that when I teach, I try to integrate it into my lessons, because kids learn in different ways, and different types of intelligence. Some are more socially intelligent, some are more, you know, book smart intelligent, and allowing kids to somewhat choose their own interests and develop them. So I don't see that too much, because I've found that a lot of the interests that I had when I was a kid, such as invention, architecture, and, you know, a lot of that is still with me, though.
Right.
Those basic interests.
Yeah.
So a lot of these kids who have their whatever they like, whatever they're curious about, is probably what not going to change through their adulthood, so they could really thrive.
Yeah.
I'm 35 now, and I think if I would have taken advantage of my interests as a kid, I could be much further in my in my personal interests, career, so forth, than I am now. I could have exploited that. I could have used that, and so. Right, finding outlets for kids that are not simply just babysitting.
Right. I wholly concur. So you have this music you like to do, perform.
Sure.
Is it cover songs? Is it your songs? Both?
A little of both.
Yeah.
Right now I've got a art gallery show I've got to prepare for, but
tell us about it. When will it be?
Aside from music, yeah, my art gallery show. That will be in April.
We'll post this information under the podcast so you guys can check it out.
It's April 14th at the Lei Gallery, L-E-I Gallery.
All right. We'll post the location.
So if you look up
on the podcast,
Lei Gallery, L-E-I Gallery on Facebook, there'll be information.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. The thing is called Ink Fried Rice is my name of my thing. You know how people get tattoos in Chinese in the West and they don't know what they mean?
Uh-huh.
Well, I used my calligraphy in English to write Taiwanese food like in a crude manner but make it really beautiful.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you can't read English, you'll think, wow, what a beautiful tattoo that would be.
Yes.
But it's it mocks that whole
I can't wait to come
it
and
mocks
check
that
it out.
Whole ignorance.
Sweet.
Yeah, I know the podcast and nobody can see, but here I've been working on the word chicken rectum.
Okay, we're gonna take some photos of this and post this. Okay, this is
sorry you can't see
this in the actual podcast, but we will post some pictures. This is great.
All right.
And by the way, it is beautiful work.
Oh, thank you.
Really
thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, this is my sketchbook, so it's not all.
I really can't wait to.
Tongue of duck.
Oh my god.
And this whole thing that looks nice, but it really says a pile of shaved ice and fruit of your choice.
It's that
ice with the fruit on top. Yeah, but
very creative.
But I took people's pictures and then digitally make it look like they have tattoos and then that's what the show will be.
I can't wait. So when you write songs, what's your thing?
The songs I've written are a lot of that I've written when I was either a teenager or in early 20s, and I simply never took the time to develop them. So I have them in books and written down. I have to revisit them. So as far as writing...
Ladies, are you listening to this? This is a guy who will write you letters.
Yes.
Who will sing you love songs.
Yes.
Who will draw you pictures. He will draw you. So listen, call in. It's not a radio show. I don't know what this is, but anyway, write in. Sorry, I didn't mean.
Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you, Todd. I'm not rich yet, but I'm working on it. There's that too.
All right. Maybe some wealthy woman will,
be
your benefactor.
That'd be great.
That's a whole other issue, but anyway, we won't get into that today.
The thing, music. That I've written, because now I play a lot of cover songs just for fun and
it's just a solo acoustic.
Awesome. I'm a guitarist more than a singer originally. I started playing guitar when I was 16. A friend played guitar and said, "Hey, we should jam together. You should buy a guitar." So I bought a guitar and it went from there and just playing
self-taught. Wow.
And so I started with a lot of heavy metal and rock music, and now I'm interested in all kinds of playing. As far as lyrically, a lot of the old songs were from the work when I was working in the U.S. in my 20s. A lot of my 20s was spent working in a lot of different jobs, a lot of industrial jobs, some factories.
Yeah.
So I have some about the repetitive and mundane life and the outlet that you want for that.
Yeah.
One of the lyrics I think is about how I was in the union for a time and I was making fun of it, how it was the decisions that they would make would take so long, and how it was important but also pointless.
Mm-hmm.
And how it just reflected the whole job, how it was just on and on and on, and how my coworkers, if you talk to them quickly, they would just give you a blank reply, nothing important. But if you keep talking to them, you would see them open up their personality. And it was an observation how frustrating it probably is for people, and how there are interests. Just like I was talking about the kids in Taiwan, how like there are things like, I don't know, creativity, I'll use that word again, insights, passions that people have that are just suppressed.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I've written about is like that.
Yeah. Really nice. I can't wait to come and listen to you sing and play. And
thanks.
I really am excited about the art show. All right, one final question, and I hope you'll just take it for what it is.
Okay.
Are you religious? Are you a religious person?
I grew up Catholic. My parents were Catholic. Went to a Catholic church. I went to a Catholic high school.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay. Like all boys or all?
No,
just a mixed high school.
This is a mixed high school, yeah. But it was a Catholic high school, very small school.
I have a funny story about a Catholic school. I'll have to share with you another time.
Right.
I don't have time today, but it's really funny.
All right.
Not dirty or anything. It's okay. Just funny, yeah.
Because some jokes start.
Yeah, it's not okay.
But yes. And so going to the school, my heavy metal guitar playing friends, especially after I turned 16, we didn't quite get along, and we kind of believed or seeing that, you know, we weren't bad people,
right?
We were, but we were looked upon as bad people.
Wow.
in a way, and so it kind of at the time, you know, separated me from not necessarily from. I will say from religion. I won't say from God or from spirituality,
sure,
but
yeah.
I will say from organized religion in that sense that that my problem wasn't with the nature of God and all, but with how people, with how so many people viewed the nature of God, or how people used it as kind of an institution, and I had a big problem with that. And I still do, in a way. I still have a lot of trust issues with institution. Sounds like a very sterile and bad word.
Yeah, well,
but with,
I know what you mean.
With, I guess with the church, with a church in it. And so I am a little reluctant to that I can't entirely be myself. But you know, I will. I don't pray very often, but I will pray on occasion. So I don't.
Would you still consider yourself to be Catholic, or just?
No, I would not. I would not. I have a lot. I have a lot of respect for the Catholic Church. I love, because people in my hometown, some people that I know, I worked at that church for a little bit. It's a big church, and I had to go in part time and change all the candles out from all the pilgrims that would visit.
Yeah.
So I worked there. I got to know some of the people, including some of the brothers,
monks,
somewhat
like that.
Yeah, it's like priests, but
under the priests,
priests move around. The brothers will stay there. Franciscan friars is who they are, and I got to know some of them. I still know them. Still friends on Facebook, and just like great people.
Yeah,
and so. Right, a lot of it's so it's not a rejection outright. Here I am in Taiwan, and seeing a lot of people live their life with their religion. They never grew up with Catholicism or even Christianity,
mm-hmm.
and I see them as fine people.
Yeah.
So it's as far as here on Earth, you know, my idea is you know, I try to focus more on being a good person here on Earth, and trying to have a lot of being self-aware, self-critical, to make sure that I'm doing right in the first place. But I struggle with doctrine and that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for answering the question. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Listen, thanks for being on the show. It has been a true delight. We'd spent a little bit of time before together, but I feel like I know you so much better now. And I will tell you that funny story down the road. So.
Oh, thanks, Todd.
Yeah. thanks for coming on. Hey, appreciate everybody, it. Thanks for joining us today. And tune in next time for our next episode of Taichung Expat Talks.